Brilliant.
Okay, let's just pray, shall we? Father God, we just thank you for your presence here today. And I just pray, Lord, that you will speak to each one of us, that we hear your words today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to think about your favourite teacher. Why are they your favourite? Were they good at teaching a particular subject? A particular skill? Or were they funny? Such as, what's a maths teacher's favourite season? Summer. Had to get that one in. How is an English teacher like a judge? They both give out sentences. Did they have great discipline? Or did they lead, for example? As somebody who's been in the teaching profession for almost 12 years, I've used many different teaching methods. But let me tell you about someone who is arguably the best teacher that has ever walked the planet. His name is Jesus. Of the 90 times that Jesus was directly addressed in the Gospels, Jesus was addressed as teacher 60 times. Even Jesus in John 13:13 said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am." And in John 3:2, when Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews and a teacher in Israel, came to Jesus and said to him, "We know that you are a teacher who has come from God." Jesus was a teacher who taught with compassion and put people first. Jesus was a teacher who taught us how to love. In verses 13 and 16, if you've got your Bibles in front of you, which is page 714, some parents brought their children to Jesus, but the disciples were selfish and wanted Jesus to be with a select few. Upon hearing this, Jesus was angry, indignant, displeased with them for not welcoming the children. Jesus welcomed everyone, from the very young to the very old, from the weak to the diseased to the powerful. This is a lesson that we can all learn. As a body of Christ, we should be welcoming everybody, not just our favourites, but all. Not only should we welcome all people into a church service, we should actually be welcoming people into the kingdom of God, wherever we are. Jesus' teaching certainly managed to draw in the crowds. Remember when Jesus heard about his cousin John the Baptist had just been beheaded in Matthew 14. He went to withdraw, but the crowds followed him. He had compassion on them, healed the sick, and when they were hungry, he fed them. All 5,000 men, plus all the women and the children, with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus was a teacher who taught with power, authority and purpose. I love the story in Luke chapter 2, when Jesus was teaching in the temple courts at the age of only 12. And the people were amazed at his understanding and the answers that he gave. Even his parents were amazed. And Jesus was a teacher who taught us how to talk to the Father. Remember the Lord's Prayer that we'll say later? Jesus taught this wonderful method of how we can pray and talk to God our Father. This prayer is based on 6 principles. Honouring the God of creation. Asking God's kingdom to come to earth. Asking God to provide us for all of our needs. Asking that we will be forgiven as we forgive others. And leading us away from temptation while protecting us from evil. And Jesus was a teacher who challenged. Picture of me there. Okay. When I taught science, I would give my students I know, it was Bugs Bunny actually. When I taught science, I would actually give my students a set of instructions to follow. I would demonstrate the correct technique. They would carry out the experiment in full. But my job as a teacher was not only to educate, giving my students their desired qualification, but to get them ready for work and what many people would class as the real world. I was getting them ready to get on with others that the best that they could do, and as a guide to how to relate to other people. That reminds me of another joke. What is the formula for water? The student asked. The teacher asked, rather. And the student said, H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O. To which the teacher replied, "That's not what I taught you." To which the student replied that the formula for water was H2O. At present, there's a big push for apprenticeships. Apprenticeships are when people learn on the job. They gain experience and qualifications at the same time. The basic layout of an apprenticeship is, I do, you watch. I do, you help. You do, I help. And then you do, I watch. We are all Jesus' apprenticeships. We are all on a journey, watching, learning, and doing things together. We need to read the Gospels to discover what Jesus did, and we can learn from him. There was a teacher I followed the other week in the college, and I overheard a conversation he had with a student. He said, "If you do as I say, you won't go far wrong." That reminded me of when Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey my teaching." When the rich man asked Jesus about him being good, was this a reference to Jesus being God? Because Jesus said that only God is good. Or is the rich man admiring Jesus' teaching and how he lived a good life? Jesus turns his thinking around in verse 18 when he brings the attention back onto God himself. One thing I had a reputation for when I was a teacher, that when someone asked me a question, I would actually reply back in another question, which got people thinking that it would have been a lot quicker if I'd have given them the answer in the first place. But it gets them thinking. Here, Jesus is asking questions. In verse 19, Jesus quotes 6 of the 10 commandments to the rich man. But why only 6? Why not the other 10? These 6 commands were inscribed on the second table of the law, and these address ones of civil obligations, that are how we are to live with one another and behave towards one another. Whereas the first table addressed our obligation to worship the one true God. Jesus was allowing the rich man to evaluate his own performance in relation to God's standard. Jesus' answer was full of compassion because in verses 20 and 21, the rich man said that he has obeyed these since he was a boy. How did he know, this person, that there was more to life than just being a good person? Jesus was addressing God should be number one. So how many of us can truly say that? But Jesus knew one thing about the rich man, and that this rich man loved his riches more than he loved God. So do we love our money, our material possessions, our lifestyle more than God? For Jesus says in verse 21, "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Did you know that there are about 17 verses in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that relate to tithing? That's where 10% of our income that we have, we give back to God. Although given a percentage of whatever it may be to God is a good spiritual discipline, Jesus is taking it to a whole new dimension. To many people in this room, when we first became a Christian, we're enthusiastic about giving our lives to Jesus. When I first gave my life to Jesus when I was a teenager, if somebody had asked me who knows and loves God, I would have said, "Yes!" And who wants to worship God with all of their hearts and their lives? I would have said, "Yes!" And if someone were to ask me who loves Jesus more than their family, I would have thought of my sister, even though I love her dearly. I would have said, yes. And if they said, who wants to give their whole lives to God? Yes. But then if someone had said, who wants to make Jesus Lord of my finances? I would have asked them, is that a hypothetical question? Or are you asking me to do something real and costly? That is what Jesus was asking this young man, or the rich man. Will you give it all up for him? Who is your God? Who is number one in your heart? What is number one in your heart? Jesus wants all of us. He wants all of you. He does not want us to have idols that replace the one true God, whether this is our money, our house, our car, our friends, our celebrities, our computers, our phones, whatever it may be. Whatever it may be. For these are all temporary. They all have a limited life expectancy and limited joy. Jesus is the ultimate joy giver. What we do for Jesus will last for eternity. For where our treasure is, that is where our heart will be. Jesus' final command in Matthew 28 was a teaching command. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So let us go out into the world, wherever God has called us to be, whether it is in our own home or further afield. May we obey all that Jesus has taught us, no matter how tough. May we have a passion to learn more about Jesus through reading the scriptures, to tell people about Jesus and all that he has done for us. And then we will see his kingdom grow. Amen.